This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. It will be the last chance tonight for Bethel residents to testify about an online sales tax. The city council will take final action on adopting a sales tax code that applies to online purchases. If it passes, City Clerk Lori Strickler says there will be a 30-day implementation period, after which Bethel residents will pay a 6% tax on goods bought online. In tonight's meeting, the council members will also look at accepting former council member Fred Watson's resignation. If they accept, they will then look at how to fill the open seat. There are also a number of Bethel Municipal Code changes on the agenda, which City Clerk Lori Strickler describes as cleaning up unused sections and simplifying the appeals process for decisions the city makes. Tune in tonight at 6:30 p.m. for the Bethel City Council regular meeting, broadcast live on KYUK. And Governor Mike Dunleavy has called a news conference yesterday to soothe Alaskans' anxiety as the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc on the global economy and threatens to undermine the state budget. Benchmark oil prices crashed 20% yesterday, which could erase hundreds of millions of dollars in state revenue unless that trend reverses. Meanwhile, federal officials are warning against traveling on cruise ships, which are a linchpin of Southeast Alaska's tourism economy. And the cratering stock market has stripped more than $1 billion in value from the Alaska Permanent Fund, which pays for residents' permanent fund dividends and part of the state budget. The governor's message?
I just want to reassure Alaskans that we're on this. We've got this.
Monday's oil price crash alone could cost the state some $300 million in revenue, but Dunleavy says he has no immediate plans to change his budget
proposal.
I would say
this is definitely a momentary bump in the road for Alaska. Again, our oil patch is in it for the long haul. With regard to the stock market, I too believe that the underlying fundamentals of the U.S. economy is pretty strong.
Not everyone is optimistic. Mushin Gutabi, a Ph.D. economist at University of Alaska Anchorage, says he's far less certain that the downturns will be temporary, pointing to the cancellation of classes at Ivy League schools as one example. At the University of Washington in hard-hit Seattle, meanwhile, classes are shut down until the end of spring semester.
I wish I could tell you 3 months is the maximum amount of time that we will be dealing with this, or it's, you know, a two-year situation. I honestly don't know.
Gutabi notes that some 90% of the state's revenue comes from oil and the permanent fund's investments, and says that the state can't hide from that.
It exposes is just how vulnerable Alaska is, because it's the perfect storm of sorts. There is exposure from a budgetary standpoint to the two big sources of money.
Alaska has no confirmed cases of coronavirus. 9 tests are pending. Meanwhile, state health officials say they have loosened limits on who can be tested for the coronavirus as their capacity ramps up. The state now has capacity to test as many as 500 people, up from 200 or fewer last week. And moving on to sports news, the Lower Kuskokwim School District is the biggest one in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and like many other school districts, is currently discussing to see how to handle the coronavirus outbreak that has infected 100,000 people worldwide. LKSD Superintendent Dan Walker says, like a lot of people, he's watching and waiting.
Right now, we're focused on preventative measures, educating students, staff, families about some of the best practices for washing hands, making sure that anything related to respiratory hygiene, that we're following some of those protocols.
LKSD has 27 schools and 4,000 students in its jurisdiction. Walker says they have been meeting daily about what to do if there is a coronavirus outbreak in Bethel, and they participate in emergency management meetings with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. First, the district says, wash your hands.
Making sure that you spend 20 seconds washing your hand with soap and warm water, and coughing into the crook of your elbow, maybe not shaking hands.
Then, as students leave for spring break this month, LKSD is requiring their village schools to wash down everything.
Asking schools over spring breaks to make sure that their custodial staff does a deep clean, especially on surfaces that people touch. And then as spring break ends and people come back, making sure that that is an ongoing practice.
Right now, the district isn't restricting domestic travel for students and employees like some school districts in the state. but Walker says they could restrict school-related travel should there be an outbreak in the YK Delta. As for canceling school, Walker says that will be considered on a case-by-case basis. Most of LKSD's schools can only be reached by plane or the ice road in winter. Meanwhile, Walker encourages parents to read the guidelines they have posted on social media and their website. And in sled dog news, largely uneventful, that was, in general terms, how the first Iditarod teams arriving at the Rainy Pass checkpoint 153 miles into the race described the trail thus far. Although they contended with a bit of a storm during the first few dozen miles, as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, many said that the trail ascending up the Alaska Range were as good as they ever remembered it.
The Rainy Pass Lodge sits above the frozen-over Patilla Lake, high up in the mountains. It's extremely scenic, and close enough to the road system that planes full of race fans, reporters, and tourists arrive in droves, making it a kind of alpine spectacle with dozens of people milling around to snap photos of mushers. Pete Kaiser was the first to arrive, and hoping to bank as much rest for his team and himself before the circus arrived.
Looks like it started, so I don't know. I gotta do my rest.
But if this was the most excitement mushers had seen so far, they sounded fine with it. Snow and wind hampered the first leg of the race, but after Squintna, Kaiser says things were great.
The first 4 hours of the race was going to end, and it was real slow, just like everyone thought it would be. And deep, and then it kind of slowly improved mile by mile after that, and this Finger Lake to here was a great trail.
Nobody seemed fazed by the squall early on. In the sunshine on Pantillo Lake, with mild temperatures and some manageable wind, Richie Deal seemed pleased with the most recent run.
I mean, you're just climbing in and out of the hills, you know, and so it's kind of slow in that way, but I thought it was a pretty good run over.
Most of the first mushers who made it to Pantilla opted to rest before heading further up through Rainy Pass itself. Wade Mars was using a Bowie knife to split up frozen hunks of beef, salmon, and tripe to feed his team. He says so far the trail has been the best and worst of both worlds.
Early on was a horrible trail, worst I've ever seen, but it's getting pretty good. Probably the best trail I've ever seen going into Finger Lake, and really nice trail coming into here. So, but the Yatna Squintna stretch was pretty bad.
One musher having a particularly good day was Paige Drobny. She drew the last starting place, leaving Willow in 57th position, but she pulled into Pantilla Lake in the 10th spot. Fetching water from a hole in the ice, she thinks she was able to leapfrog so much because she had a different run-rest schedule.
I did 3 runs a year, and I think a lot of people are doing 4. I ran for 6.5, rested for 3, ran for 6.5, rested for 4, ran for 5 to get here.
After crossing Rainy Pass, mushers hit Roan before descending the Alaska Range. On Pantilla Lake, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
The Nikolai checkpoint on the Iditarod Trail was filling up with sled dog teams today until Brent Sass checked in at 1:38 in the afternoon. Instead of resting his dogs in town with the other front runners, Sass mushed through and back on the trail towards McGrath. A little over an hour later, Richie Deal and Jesse Royer gave chase, followed by Wade Mars, Aaron Burmeister, and others. By around 4 this afternoon, a total of 9 teams had left Nikolai, but Bethel's Pete Kaiser was not among these early departures. He got back on the trail at around 4:20 this afternoon. By the time Kaiser mushed off, Jesse Royer and Deal had already overtaken Sass, who had driven 12 miles down the trail to camp and rest his team. Most of the teams leaving Nikolai this afternoon had at least 4 hours of rest to help them make the next 48-mile run to McGrath. It is at this point in the race when mushers start thinking about where they want to take their mandatory 24-hour layovers. Jessica Klaika is still making her way to Nikolai and is likely to arrive there this evening. Nick Battee also took his rest on the trail today. He was camped out for around 6 hours between Roan and Nikolai before heading back on the trail. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.